Over the past few weeks, I've been thinking, as you know, of preaching on the subject of edification, which is something that I haven't really, certainly in terms of the word, preached on before. I've preached on, I think, most if not all of the other great scriptural words, justification and sanctification and salvation and all of those sort of things, but not edification. But it seems as though each time we've gone to preach on it, for whatever reason, it hasn't been, we haven't been able to proceed. And as I've sort of prepared several times and thought it through, I suppose in a sense it's become a slightly bigger topic that we're going to be thinking of, and I've given it the general sort of title of going to church. And what I want to do over the next sort of few weeks is to try and answer some of the questions about going to church. Why do we go to church? Where do we go to church? When should we be going to church? What should we be doing when we go to church? Who should go to church? How should we conduct ourselves? What should take place when we are doing this thing called church? And I think, as I've been thinking about it, it seems to me that it's one of those things in the Christian life that's been under attack in many ways. I guess for those of us here who are sort of longer in the tooth, Christianly speaking, if Christian is a word, you can remember the days when it was just automatic that you went to church, not once on a Sunday, but two or sometimes even three times. It was the expected thing. There would have been no question that that is what was done, and you would have had to, at least to yourself, have had a pretty good excuse for not going to church several times on a Sunday. And you would have probably gone to more than one meeting during the week as well. And somehow we've come away from that expectation and that understanding to the point where some people are questioning whether you need to go to church at all. And I'm sure we've all met people who said, "Oh, I believe the Lord said to me that I don't need to be part of a church." And they don't go anywhere, anytime. They might go to the odd special meeting here and there, or, you know, they might meet with a few friends in their home, or as somebody said to us recently, "Well, I sit and watch the God Channel." And you think, is that somehow now a substitute for actually going to church and meeting with God's people? And even those who do go to church, it doesn't seem to be a high priority in their lives. It doesn't seem to take a lot to persuade them that there's something else that they can do or should do instead. And so somehow it seems, I mean, perhaps in the old days it was too much in one direction, but it seems to me now that we have swung too much the other direction, where going to church and meeting with God's people on a Sunday in particular seems to have become a very low priority in the life of many Christians. And yet if the apostles came back today, they would be horrified and disgusted at such an attitude. It would have no part in their understanding of what it meant to be a Christian, because the opportunity of meeting together and sharing together was just such an important part of the Christian life. It was one of the things that distinguished Christianity and made it different from the other religions that went on round about. As I say, they would find it very difficult to get into the mindset of people who felt it was unimportant, sort of gathering together and meeting together. And so I suppose that leads us to the why question. Well, why do we meet together? What's it about when we meet together? And I suppose if we went around and asked everybody for why they go to church, we'd probably get a range of different answers. For many people, it's an opportunity to worship. Some people might say that they went to hear the preaching and teaching of God's word. Some people, if they were being honest in the modern church, would say they were going for to be entertained. They might not actually use that word, but in a sense, that is the element by which they judge whether a service has been a successful service or not, whether they come out feeling entertained and good about the things that have gone on in the service. But I read a very interesting article, and this guy was saying that he'd attended a conference, and he'd been shocked by a couple of the speakers, who had pointed out that scripturally, worship is not something we do sort of when we come together on a Sunday. If you look at the word worship, and you look at the concept of praising God, and we have said this before, that is something, yes, you might do it as part of gathering together on a Sunday, but it's something that you do day by day in your daily life. Your life is meant to be worship to God. You're supposed to live your life to the praise and honour of God's name. And if we look into the New Testament scriptures in particular, we'll see that over and over again, the reason that the apostles and the writers give for meeting together is edification. That's the word that they use. That's the concept that is central to meeting together. Now, edification is I mean, basically, the word itself means building, and that is used in the New Testament scriptures for the sense of building up. It's a building up of the church. It's a building up of individual Christians. It's a building up of the witness of the church as the body of Christ, and it includes a number of concepts like encouragement, because we live in a very discouraging world, and we need to be encouraged if we're really going to be able to live for Christ there. Exhortation, being in sort of directed and given sort of information and incentive and motivation to go and live for Christ. There's that sense that we need to be matured, that as Christians we should be heading towards perfection and coming together as part of that perfecting process. There's that biblical concept of sort of iron striking against iron and wiping off the rough edges. And as Christians, that's what we're supposed to do to and for each other. And I say there are many, many passages of scripture that we could choose to look at. In the book of Acts in chapter 9, it talks about all the churches through Judea, Galilee and Samaria having peace and being edified. Ephesians chapter 4 is a great chapter about what the church is for and the gifts that God has given to the church. And in the center of it, Paul says that all of those gifts are given for the edifying of the body of Christ. In chapter 14 of Romans, a big chunk there from the middle of chapter 14 right through into chapter 15, Paul talks about let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. In 1 Thessalonians he talks about us edifying one another. Jude talks about us building ourselves up in the most holy faith. And in both letters to the Corinthians, Paul emphasizes this need for edification. And also in that famous passage in Hebrews chapter 10, where the writer to the Hebrews talks about the problems of neglecting to meet together. He stresses the purpose of meeting together again as being edification. Now we will over the weeks probably look at some of those chapters, some of those passages. But today I want to look at Paul's, if you like, the culmination of Paul speaking to the church in Corinth about what their meeting together should be like. And it comes really in Corinthians chapter 16, which is the very end of that, of 1 Corinthians. Now, I suppose to understand Paul's particular way of speaking to the church in Corinth, because it's fair to say I think that there are one or two controversial bits that we will see in the passage that we read together, which I won't be going into in any detail, certainly not this morning. But to understand those things, we really do need to understand the situation in Corinth. Now, Corinth was an amazing place. It was one of the most important